This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
Even though the Brexit decision happened here in the UK, big economic moments still have a way of hitting home and affecting our personal finances. We asked you last week what questions you wanted answered when it came to the Brexit. Jill Schlesinger, a CBS News business analyst and a longtime friend of the show, is on to help wade through your questions. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
We're doing this transatlantic thing.
It's exciting.
I want to ask you one thing. I noticed a lot of brokerage houses and the kind of places that run 401ks essentially said first, don't panic, everybody. Is that sort of the note that we should keep in the back of our heads all the time?
Yes, although my mother tells me it's the most annoying thing, and that when I say it on television, she makes me want to, like, she says to me, it's the worst thing to say. Of course I'm panicking. So maybe it's better to give you some sort of more useful tips instead of platitudes. And the useful tip is that if you are a long-term investor, you can kind of take a breath and say, wait, it's scary this moment, but I'm actually investing in my IRA or my 401k for 20, 30 years in the future. And even if I were 50 or 60 years old, chances are I don't have as much risk in my portfolio. And I'm still investing for decades in the future, because you don't invest to a retirement date. You are investing as if you were trying to get yourself through retirement, which is now 30 years. So if you can kind of remind yourself of that notion, then you won't panic. It's a lot easier.
Well, then let's take some of these individual questions. I want to go ahead and play tape from a woman who called us named Janae.
Hi, my name is Janae Adams, and my question about Brexit is all about mortgage rates. How true is it that the mortgage rates are going to go down, and how well will people benefit, those that want to refinance and those who are trying to get into the housing market for the first time?
So I want to unpack this a little bit. She's talking about mortgage rates, and people might have a hard time making that connection. I suspect that she's going along the lines of, this is yet another potential shock to the global economy that is going to make the Federal Reserve hold off on raising rates.
And more to the point, that when the world is in disarray, what many investors do is they pull money out of the stock market and they pour it into the bond market. And remember that the 10-year treasury is the most important factor in terms of determining a mortgage. And so if you looked at the past few days, mortgage rates did tick down. I mean, they were down already, but the one factor in terms of the first-time home buyer that's really been tough is that there just hasn't been a lot of inventory in the housing market. So rates have been cheap for a while. It's just that it's so disheartening if you talk to anyone looking for a house and they say, well, you know, we went to 14 open houses and got outbid on every single one. Now, the inventory problem is starting to ease up a little bit, so I am hopeful that we will get some more first-time home buyers in. The other really good piece of news around that is people are actually seeing their credit scores improve over the last few years, so that too has helped.
Well, we have another question about loans and about sort of the Brexit effect on those. Let's play this one. This is from Matt.
Hey, this is Matt from Miami. And one analysis that I've never been able to find is what's going to be the impact on LIBOR. I have a loan that's tied to LIBOR, an adjustable rate mortgage, and I don't know what the effect of the Brexit will be on the London Interbank Offer Rate.
So thankfully, Matt spelled out the acronym London Interbank Offer Rate. You want to explain what LIBOR is for mere mortals?
First of all, I agree that that was fabulous. So fantastic. okay, so really what it means, it's a benchmark. When we say benchmark, it's sort of like the thing that we're basing other loans off of, okay? And when you look at LIBOR, it is the rate of interest that banks are lending money to one another in the wholesale market. And it actually happens in London. And once again, when rates generally are kind of going insane, especially with downward pressure on the yield and upward pressure on the price, everything's going down in tandem. But LIBOR is, generally speaking, a short-term rate. And so what that means is that, you know, it can look great for 5 days, but I can't tell you what it's going to be in 3 months. So I think that probably the answer is it's good, because generally speaking, when there's madness in the world, rates go down. That's kind of a good thing, but may not last.
May not last. These are pretty sophisticated questions we've gotten, by the way.
I'll say.
Yeah. Here's one more, and this is from Mike in North Carolina, and this, I think, is one for people who have, shall we say, an appetite for risk.
Hello, my name is Mike Cox, and I've had a few questions about the Brexit move. Yeah, I was thinking, what would be some good British companies to keep an eye on in the next 6 to 18 months that might turn into an eventual profit? Because my plan, if everything goes as it has been going, my prediction, is to wait about another 8 to 12 months when the stocks on the British side are more over toward a bottom trend, and then wait another 3 or 4 years when they rebound from it, and of course turn a good profit.
Now, what Mike is talking about here is basically the sort of tenet of the stock market, which is of course buy low, but it's also something that most people don't do, which is wade into an uncertain and volatile situation like this one. What do you hear and think when you hear someone say, I want to know if I should buy stocks in the middle of a crisis?
The old trader in me says, I want to be on the other side of that trade.
Really?
And the because individuals who usually wade in do it at the wrong time and then panic when the trade goes against them, and then the other side makes money. Okay, we're talking a little bit about market timing, right? And generally speaking, it's very difficult to know when to buy and sell. That said, if you wanted to be like making a massive gutsy move right now, and you really said, I am not going to touch it, I'm going to pinky swear with you, Jill and Lizzie, that I really want to roll the dice. I think the stock area that will likely come under continued pressure, and it may not be, in the foreseeable future, it's going to get better, but the UK banking sector just got shellacked. I mean, literally in the first 2 days after Brexit, the whole sector lost a quarter of its value in 2 trading sessions. If you were the type of person who wanted to say, well, I really don't believe that in the end, these banks are going to go broke, and I really believe that 5 years from now that I would be better off, sort of taking a risk on something and swing a little bit, that might be the area that I would do. But I'm going to do it with a couple of caveats. Number one, whatever money I would put into this investment, it would be money that I could lose. And so I'm not an individual stock picker, but, if I'm going to take a flyer, it's going to be up to maybe 5% of my total portfolio value. Okay, not my net worth, my total portfolio value.
Yep.
Okay. Next, if I'm going to really dip my toe in, I am going to be what's called a scale up buyer, which means that I'm not putting all the money that I have in this trade in this moment. I'm going to put a little bit of money in and see if it goes down another 10%. I put a little more in. But by and large, this is a very sophisticated question in many ways, and it's also kind of dopey in another way, which is like, what? Well, frankly, you're better off just saying, stick to my game plan, get my stuff done. Why would I go here? What am I doing? Maybe I would rather go to Las Vegas and get some free drinks because it's similar odds that you're going to make money.
One thing that struck me, I've been out doing reporting and I talked to a local government official in a town in the Midlands here in England. And he said, it's very hard for them to plan right now, even as a small government, who they're going to do business with, because forget kind of the larger questions, but mid-sized businesses are trying to even figure out their financing. And that's up in the air right now with all of the chaos here. And I feel like if a business is having a hard time figuring out what it's going to do and a local government is having a hard time figuring out what it's going to do, maybe there's a message in there to individual people.
Considering that there's this huge vote and there's this whole campaign and the people who were advocating to leave the European Union have absolutely no idea the path they are going to take and, which exit ramp is going to be for them, is kind of mind-blowing. It's like, well, I don't know, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. And all that uncertainty is not really good for any of us. I do think that there's something kind of unique about this crisis. And I'm not going to be a crazy Cassandra because I don't want to get hate mail from everybody. But just because you have two horrible days followed by two decent days in the market doesn't mean this is all over. I'm not saying that we're in a Lehman Brothers moment, because everyone's very quick to say this is not Lehman Brothers and banks are better capitalized. I think that we would be really kind of ignoring history and trusting that everything's going to be okay is not actually the smartest move right now. We sort of trusted that the vote would go the other way, and it didn't. So I think that it would be very wise for us to prepare ourselves for a very rocky time ahead.
Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and the host of Jill on Money. Thank you, as always.
Great to be with you.